Welcome back to Reality NSFW and our continuing coverage of Big Brother Canada. We're coming to you on Wednesday night after the Week 8 veto episode goes down. What an eventful one. I'm coming to you from a snowy, cold Cincinnati, Ohio in April. So much fun. I'm joined in my neck of the woods, suffering through this weather. Also, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. This was such an amazing episode of Big Brother Canada, and the feeds have been absolutely lit. These people are fucking crazy. The weather is nuts. I went on in a convertible in 66-degree weather yesterday and had a fabulous time with the top down. And then fast forward to today, even last night, and it's snowing, and the snow is sticking, ladies and gentlemen. It is that cold here in our neck of the woods. But other than that, everything is going great. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. And also, Bobby Goodsby back once again, trying to make sense of all this. Bobby, how's your week going?
Hey, you know what? I feel for you guys. I'm suffering through it too over here in Southern California with my one cloud in the sky, 75-degree weather. It's awful. I can't imagine being in a worse place than here. But, you know, we have Big Brother to get us through this. So I'm very, very grateful to be here. And yeah, boy, what a season, what a week. We have a lot to go through.
Yeah, let's reset a little bit. So coming into tonight's episode, we start off, Tara is putting up Jed and Beth. My knee-jerk reaction after hearing Tara won was, oh, Jed and Ty are going to be sitting next to each other on the block. I don't know how she arrived at this decision exactly in a logical manner. What do we think about Tara's nominations? And should she have just put up Jed and Ty and this would have simplified this whole week?
Bobby?
Oh, sorry. It's going to me. Yeah, no, I honestly, this whole week has been just a shit show. Like, honestly, I thought from the beginning, okay, with Jed and Beth going on the block, great, one of them will be going home. Then it went to, oh, wait, he won the veto. He's going to be using it on himself. Okay, cool. And then now we see that he took off Beth because of the words of other people that they would put up Brayden and Brayden would be the one going home. And I'm just at a loss for words. This whole week could not have gone any more different from what I thought it was going to happen. Brent, what are your thoughts on it?
I have to say, I was so upset, and I haven't been upset since this happened. Since I got fired from RHAP, there's not been a day that went by that I was upset because, you know, my life's great. I'm living my best life. Obviously, I look fabulous and things are cool. But I have to say, this was the day yesterday that I was so upset that I was not a part of RHAP to hand out all fucking ones to every goddamn person in that house. I would have given everyone ones and I would have apologized to no one. Because all these people are playing terrible. It is unbelievable to me that all six people in the house are playing this bad. And it's, you think, well, at least there's Kiefer, because Kiefer's playing well, because Kiefer knows where all the pieces are going. He knows where all the bodies are buried. But I don't even think this is a good move for Kiefer. It's not a good move for Kiefer. It's not a good move for multiple people. Most of all, Jed, who as of this moment is actually going home, even though he thinks he's pulled off a fantastic move. God, I can't wait to talk about it with you guys because, like, how did we arrive here? How did we arrive here? You know what it is? I know what it is. It is stupidity. It is hubris, and it is greed. That is how we arrived here because Jed thought he could have his cake and eat it too, keep the entire trio in the house, and be the greatest of all time, and he fell for it, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, that's the running trend with this whole house this year. It seems to be every one of them is pretty stoked on they're going to be the greatest of all time. They're going to be a legend. They're going to do things that have never been done before. Jed, you know why this move's never been done before, buddy? Because it's not going to work, you asshole. Oh my gosh, I can't even. But we're going to go through the episode. I want to talk about all these conversations that we see because I think we're getting a little bit of insight maybe into what Big Brother Canada wants to tell us or the storylines of how we got here. But I just want to talk about why this is a bad move for Kiefer, because you brought that up, Brent, and that was going to be my counterpoint. Kiefer's certainly getting the mastermind edit of sorts, if you want to call it that, tonight. And I think recently, which, fair enough, Big Brother Canada, you have to hang your narrative, your strategy narrative on somebody. He's the only one you can possibly manage right now at this point.
Possibly. Yes. However,
it's a bad move for Kiefer because Jed is the only shield for him right now, correct?
It's not just that. It's not just that he's a Shield, because Shields are a dime a dozen, but that is true. Jed is the biggest Shield for Kiefer right now in the game. But it's not just that. It's that if Jed goes home on Thursday night, and again, I'm ignoring the twist because the house guests don't know about the twist, so I'm ignoring the twist for the moment. If Jed goes home on Thursday night, Kiefer then becomes the biggest target. But that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it is that if Jed had stayed in the game, if things just played out like normal, if Jed had won the veto, taken himself off the block, Ty is the replacement nominee, and they all vote out Beth, that's fabulous for Kiefer because Jed's still in the game. And if Jed wins HOH, Kiefer's not going up. That's his boy. He's going to keep him in the game. But if he doesn't win HOH, he's going to be a target in front of him. Fast forward to the final four. If Jed's HOH at the final five, that means he's in the pool of eligible house guests to be evicted at the final four, which means by default, either one of two things is going to happen. Either one, he gets evicted at the final four over Kiefer, or number two, he wins the veto and he's not evicting Kiefer. Like, it's like there's the one target in the game who's the target in front of him. You could leave in the game. And not only that, that target is somebody, number one, that you can beat in the final two, listening to the jury as they're coming out of the game. They're all on board with Kiefer and not really feeling Jed at this moment. And number two, he being that target would take you to the end of the game, at least to the final three, at least to the final three. And you're taking him out right now and leaving yourself totally vulnerable. And like, I guess expecting to win out at this point, but maybe he thinks he doesn't have to win out. Maybe he thinks that other things are happening in the house and he's been fooled. But again, it all starts with this crazy plan to get Jed to use the veto on Beth, which again, if he had just let it play out like normal and let Jed come off the block, that would have been fabulous for Kiefer. Beth would have gone home, and then Kiefer would have had his boy Jed, and Jed would have protected Kiefer, as well as he would have been a target in front of him. Okay, there, I'm done.
This whole week lined up perfect for Kiefer. Kiefer had it set once Jed won the POV. He was set up because then he would have been in that exact position that you're talking about, Brent, which would have really set him up for an end run. And I think, just like you said, I don't think Kiefer has to be afraid of Jed. I think the outgoing house guest already think that Kiefer is the best target in the house. They think he is the front runner going forward. And so for him to think that he has to do this whole plan to get out Jed, I think it's just, you know, single-minded thinking, because I partially think he's just vindictive in the fact that Jed put him on the block last week and originally targeted him. I think that's in the back of his head, and he wants his vengeance.
You can see that in the diary rooms. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. He just wants his vengeance, and he's being single-minded about it. But if he really sat down and thought about it, exactly what you just said is exactly how it would have played out, and it would have worked out great in his favor.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten nerdy a few times on our recaps before. I'm a D&D fan, as I've said. Kiefer is a paladin in the worst way possible. I hate playing with paladins. And yeah, it's all this vengeance.
Wait. For those of us who are not D&D people, and you would think I would be, but I'm actually not. What does a paladin mean? What is that?
Like, he has this very like self-driven sense. He's self-righteous. He's all about enacting his will on others. And it's very obnoxious. And,
okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
He's playing well. He's strong. I get that, but I don't like what he's doing, and he's far too one-track minded, which also goes into that character.
Yeah.
So yeah. Kiefer. But anyways, so I said I want to get into some of these conversations and the narrative that Big Brother Canada is giving us about how we got here. One of those relationships that we see develop on the show tonight that I was a little shocked to see develop is between Ty and Tara.
It's okay. I mean, this is also, yeah, it's not just Ty and Tara. It's the four of them. It's Brayden, Kiefer, Ty, and Tara. Obviously, Ty has felt burned a little bit because the showmance was trying to get him up on the block, and that's one of the reasons why he felt he's pulled away from them a little bit and is supposedly in his mind seeing Jed's true colors, when in actuality, I don't think that's Jed's true colors. I think it's, you know, it's all about self-preservation, and there's only a few people in the house at this point, so you have to put somebody, you know, you can't volunteer yourself, for heaven's sake, so you have to put somebody up, and I think that's just, it was just the lay of the land at this point for Jed. He wasn't really trying to throw Ty under the bus, but unfortunately Tajon can't see that that's what really was happening. As far as Tara and Ty, at least they have an open sense of communication. Their communication has gotten better since, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, week three, when Tara would talk to Ty, so that's good. But on the other hand, I don't think this is as big of a narrative as the show is trying to present to us.
So we do not buy. I mean, Ty's the chief ditherer of all the ditherers, and we don't buy this. Like, if Ty were to get in power, there's a pretty good chance Tara touches the block still, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. If things if things go according to plan, and Jed goes home on Thursday night, and there's a double, they don't know a double eviction's coming. They don't know it's a fake double eviction. But if things go through and there's a double eviction on Thursday night, and somebody wins HOH, if that's Ty, I guarantee you, Tara's going to touch the block. She's getting absolutely nothing, zero, nada for not putting Ty on the block, other than her own peace of mind, which was very short lived, as we'll talk about later.
So that's where Ty's at there. Is Ty distancing himself from the sauce? If whoever is left from the trio, is he going to go back to them next week? Do we anticipate? Or is
no. he? No, he's with these people. The foursome that I just mentioned, if Jed goes home this week, I think he would prefer that Beth go home the week after. Like, he doesn't, again, they don't know a double eviction's coming, but if he had his druthers and he was the head of household, he would nominate Tara and Beth with the idea that Beth needs to go home. He wants Beth out right after Jed. Yeah, he's done with the sauce as far as I can tell.
Yeah, he's looking at this as his opportunity, even though it's late in the game, to take out these two that he's worked with so that he looks like the sole survivor of the sauce, and that he can take the credit for whatever credit Jed and Beth were going to get. It's his way of being able to be that member that survived, and maybe all that strategy and gameplay will be looked at upon himself for making the ultimate move of taking them out. So that's basically his reasoning in his head, is he sees Kiefer as a target, but he sees the other two as nothing. So if he can be the sole remaining member of the sauce, be in there and get the glory for it, he thinks that gives him the shot.
Yeah, that's just wild to me. I mean, we see this relationship deteriorating with Ty and Beth talking in the bathroom, and Beth's talking about beef fingers and whatever the hell she was talking there. That was a very weird conversation.
I must have missed that. I have to say, my feed was terrible tonight. I must have got I'd say about 40%, 50% of the episode, and that was definitely something that I missed, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, that was so awkward. The whole part about them in the bathroom talking about this, and how she's like, oh, you know, I had these boys wrapped around my finger. It's like, you're not doing yourself any favors here, just like saying to the person to their face, oh yeah, I was running the show with you. And like, even when she leaves the bathroom, he's just like, yeah, I can't wait to get you out. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, not just wrapped on her finger, wrapped around her beef fingers.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? That's not a thing, Beth. Stop. we see Tara and Beth, we've seen over the last week or so really starting to develop a potential working relationship, seeing as they're the last two girls in the house. They both see each other as potentially their best option to win in the end. And I think as we said, it didn't make a whole lot of sense for Tara to go after Beth this week. As she put her on the block.
No, she put her on the block. She put her on the block because she knew that she was going to be a vote to save Jed no matter what, at least initially. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, some things have happened this week, and we can talk about what Beth's ultimately going to do now that she's off the block and has a vote. But that's one of the reasons. I mean, Beth basically talked herself on the block with Tara by revealing that she was never going to betrayed Jed in the first place. Yeah. And that's why Tara felt, look, I gotta put you up because I want to make sure Jed goes home this week. And if you're voting, obviously you're going to be voting to save him. So I can't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Beth is not eyeing Tara's let's try to throw this under the rug. Let's try to get back together again, get on the same page. I mean, this is still Tara's potential only path to win, is to go to the end with Beth. That's somewhat,
I don't, I'm not convinced of that. I'm really not. Like, depending on how this week goes down, if Jed goes home on Tara's HOH after they tricked him into the, and then it's later revealed, it just depends on who goes home, who says what to the jury, what story is told there. Again, we don't know who's going to win the fake double eviction comp. Like, who is that person going to be? What story do they tell? Because people have different perspectives on what really happened here. Some people don't know where all the bodies are buried. Some people do know where all the bodies are buried. So whoever goes to the jury is going to be the one to tell the tale. And obviously they're going to have a skewed view, most likely, of what happened this particular week in the house. And I do think that Tara gets credit for Jed being screwed over here because she's the HOH. And I know that maybe she was tricked into putting Brayden up by some people, but it was like a double cross because she was tricked, but she knew that it was okay to put Brayden up and make it look like she was being tricked because she was in on the whole plan to begin with. Sorry if that doesn't make sense. But she also knew that they knew that she was going to put up Brayden because that's the only way she could make it look like she was not wise to the plan, which she is wise to the plan. Yeah. And that's why things are what they are right now.
Yeah, this was as confusing as that sounds. Yeah,
and this episode didn't help because it didn't clarify that. It just made it seem like everyone was on that side was getting blindsided. And also, I forgot to tell you guys ahead of the show. I apologize. I'm watching the dog today, so if he starts barking, I will mute myself so you don't have to listen to that.
But that's fine. By the way, I want to go back to your question because you said, can Tara win against anybody but Beth? And the answer is yes. I think that Tara can win against Brayden. I think that Tara could win against Ty. I think that Tara could win the game against multiple people remaining in the game at this point because she's won more competitions than Beth. She has a big move on her resume. If this goes through and Jed goes home, especially if he stays home, again, people are like acting like he's going to come right back in the house. He's got to win a competition. And whatever. If he's evicted, again, people were bemoaning this. I haven't been on a podcast to talk about this since this was announced, but people were really bemoaning the fake double eviction. And here's where I'm coming from. Okay, we have this choice, or I give you the choice of like the first four people in jury who've all been living together, one of those people gets to come back into the game. Because we saw that in Big Brother Canada 1, okay? Gary got to come back in the game, and the rest of the jury was totally rooting for him because they got to share secrets, they got to trade tea, and they got to like let their guard down and get to know each other on a more personal level without any fucking cameras around. But I would – so give me this, what they're doing right now, over that, because whoever's going to get evicted on Thursday night, most likely Jed, is going to be in sequester for like 30 minutes and then have to compete against somebody else. So he's not going to bond with the jury in a way that some other jury buyback would. And I feel like the game will be more pure because of it. So I'm not really all that mad about this. I mean, I wish they hadn't done it to begin with, but if they're going to do a buyback at this point, I would rather them do it this way.
That's a great way of looking at it, because this whole week I've been just pissed off about this whole situation because we finally get an opportunity where they're able to take out a member of the sauce, possibly two, and now we're looking at it as, okay, well, one of them's coming back anyways. Yes, Jed's getting fooled right now, but he's probably going to come back anyways because who's going to really be able to compete against him? But
we don't know what that competition's going to be.
We don't. Like,
I mean, they're not going to make it some – it's probably going to be luck-based, if I'm being totally honest. Maybe he has, 10% edge – you know, if he went up against, Brayden or Tara, as far as like dropping balls into a thing and hoping it lands in the right thing. Whatever. Like, or like balls into a tube, Big Brother. I know they're not going to copy Big Brother US, but I'm just saying some competition like that. And I just think that it's not a done deal that he's going to come back into the house. 100%. It's really not.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's just
and he's not being poisoned by he's not spilling tea. He's not being poisoned by the other members of the jury at this point.
Yeah, he won't have any contact with them. I still give him like a 70-30% chance to come back in against anybody, just because physicality alone, no matter what it is, if it's probably not going to be physicality because of that, but you never know. It's Big Brother. They could just throw in any competition thinking it's fair, and it's really lopsided. We never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, I hate this twist only because I've been waiting for someone to make a move against the Thruple for so long. Like, but you know, very results oriented thinking. Like, if of all the possible Big Brother Canada twists we could see, this one is fine, right? If someone has to come back, this is maybe the least objectionable to just let one of the like two most recently non-tainted people come back in the house. That's fine. I still am hoping. Peter and I were talking about the possibility that Tara gets evicted next, and on the stat sheet it will say, week 8 HOH Tara, week 8 evicted house guest Tara, and that will be fantastic. So that would be very fun. But I want to talk a little bit about what's going to happen if Jed does come back in, since we're on this, about the fake eviction and how this might affect Tara's game, how it might affect Kiefer's game, who's getting credit for this move. If they pull this move off, which it seems like they're going to from what we've seen, and then Jed walks back in the door, is this still a move that holds any water with the jury?
Oh, man, tough. That's tough because I still feel like it's a good move. I just feel like it's the right move to make, and the fact that they're, making Jed come across as maybe not as good of a game player. But if he comes right back in and no one's able to tell that story, then it's kind of like it doesn't hold water. So I'm kind of torn because, one, I do think it was a good move, and I think that for most people in this house, the way that they tricked him really will put a damper on maybe how the jury looks at Jed's game as a whole. But if he just comes right back in the house, it was all for nothing. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It might be a wash.
Yeah, exactly. For number one, who's he going to work with? I don't know. He'll work with anybody. I think he has to win out at this point. I mean, he's going to come back in. Somebody's going to be evicted at the end of the double eviction. So he'll come. So whoever comes back is coming back into a final five. So they're going to come back into a final five. I just think he has to win out. But you have to look at it this way. Zach, he has two chances at final five to win. HOH or veto, either one he'll take. And at final four, you know, assuming he wins, like, it depends on what he wins, but he'll have at least one opportunity to guarantee his safety at the final four. So, like, I think his chances are pretty good, but I do think he has to win out. I don't think there's any way he can sit on the block or be vulnerable from the final five on and not have safety of some sort and make his way further in the game. I don't think that will happen.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, we're at the Expedia Veto, which you're going to get. Is it a trip for two to Banff or something? And the Veto, whatever. They got some prizes attached to this
one. I must have missed that. Yes.
this comp looked like fun. There's some logic puzzles going on.
Loved it. I have to say, yes, loved it. Logic puzzles. There were riddles. There were actual puzzles. It was timed. There was a little physicality to it. I loved everything about this competition. I know it was a little weedy insofar as a lot of different pieces being moved around the board. Like, you know, could you keep up with what the fuck was happening? But since, you know, I'm a person who lives and dies for Big Brother, and I love competitions like this. So I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm torn on this.
You can disagree. Listen, let me tell you something. Before you say something, you know what? You can disagree with me and totally disagree with me because I am sick and tired. Somebody can clip this and send it to him. I am sick and tired of watching the RHAP, which I love. I love to death, and I'm a member of that community. But I'm so sick and tired of people going on with Taryn, and they have an opinion, and they say their opinion. And then Taryn, being awesome because we love him for that, he has his own opinions about what he thinks, okay? But then after those people who are guests on the show listen to Taryn's opinion, they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I guess that's how it is. And I'm like, no, why don't you have an opinion yourself and stick with it? Just because Taryn has an opinion of something doesn't mean you have to have that same opinion at the end of the goddamn podcast. So, Bobby, go ahead and disagree with me and tell me why you think this was a shitty competition. It's okay. You're not going to get fired.
Well, now, no, see, the thing is, a lot of your opinions that you have are the same opinions I have. So I always want to be like, no, Brent, screw you. You're wrong. But it's like, thank you. He's right on this one. So it's nothing like that. But I will say this. I'm torn on this one because I didn't like how the timing factor came into this this competition because I couldn't really get a grasp of how they were really taking the lead with the time. There's those videos in between each one of the steps along the way. And I was just like, so does the time start then? When does the time stop? Like, everything about it was confusing to me. I love the puzzle idea, and I love the way that they set it up. As far as the timing of it, I feel like it was very difficult for me to follow along how exactly the timing stops and starts and all about that. I like the way they staged it, though.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I wasn't sure if the timing was stopping because I heard a bell, and usually when a bell rings or when you buzz in and they say it's correct, then the timer stops. But I don't know if it actually did stop because like they instantly moved on to the next part of the competition. So I don't even know. Whatever. We just got to trust Big Brother at this point and pray to God that everything was fair. That's all.
And I'll offer a third opinion. I don't even care if it's fair. This is a way better storyline. I'm glad it worked out this way. I do not care about fairness in reality TV. Nothing about reality TV is fair. Doesn't matter. But
all right.
The big burning question I had at the end of this as Jed wins the veto is he going to take Beth on the trip for two that he won?
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, right. No. Yeah. Oh, sure. Listen, Jed's mom. For those of you who don't follow Twitter, Jed's mom has been on Twitter. Jed's brother, I think, runs his account, and Jed has been on Twitter. I mean, Jed's mom has been on Twitter herself, and she hates Beth. I mean, it's so bizarre, and I God bless her, because I would never let my mom on social media if I got on something, but like, Jed's mom is on social media, and she absolutely hates Beth. Like, there's no way that when Jed gets out of the house that his mom is not instantly going to him and saying, look, this girl is absolutely no good for you. Like, I mean, seriously, there is no fucking future to this relationship. You heard it here first. I'm telling you what.
You know what? To be different from Brent, yeah, he's taking her. I'm going to go with that.
Man, that's really unusual. I can't recall a time before that we've seen family members dislike someone that their family members are
right?
Very unique.
It's very odd.
I wonder why. I wonder what was the big reason that she's just like, nah, hell no, screw this.
I don't know. Like, I mean, Beth has, like, and even right now, Beth is pretty loyal to Jed. I mean, she's kicked around the idea of taking him out, but she doesn't want to see him go home this week. She's going to vote for him to stay, believe you me, I think, when the votes come in on Thursday. So, I don't, yeah, whatever. I mean, anyway, she's got her opinions. God bless her. She's the mom. She can say what she wants.
Oh, they need to have the mom at the finale, just right there, just being like, I hate you.
Oh, that would be good. Have Beth read mean tweets from Jed's mom.
Now we're going to introduce you to Jed's mom.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
You're good. We'll never get it. Jed comes in and he's pitching Braden, which I think makes a lot of sense for the sauce. This is their ideal goal, get Braden on the block with Beth. And
again, this is the point in time where, you know what, I heard this, I was at work when this was happening, and I'm like, ha 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 ha, like that'll happen. Tara said, absolutely no, Braden is the one person that cannot touch the block this week. I don't trust those fuckers. I will not trust those fuckers. I will not put Braden up on the block. And I'm just like, okay, well, that says it then. So then when she went talking to other people, when she went talking to Jed, when she went talking to Kiefer, I'm thinking in my head that she's playing them. She's not going to allow Braden to touch the block. Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. And we see Kiefer and Tara, and they're trying to come up with this plan. And this is where the grand narrative starts from Big Brother's perspective. This is where we start to get Kiefer in some fever dream and some fugue state, comes up with the mastermind plan. We need to convince Jed that that he needs to use the veto on Beth. Boom. So I have not seen too much of the feeds. Every time I try to get on, things are down. Kiefer gets full credit for this. Is this 100%? This is Kiefer's idea.
I mean, I wouldn't give him like full credit, but I would give him the impetus of it. Like, he is the impetus of it, in my opinion. Like, I give him the most credit out of anybody. Like, if I wasn't going to give everybody, I wanted to give everybody a one. I wanted to use the paddle for everybody just to show them how fed up I am with all of them in the house. But if anybody didn't deserve a one, it's definitely Kiefer. Yeah. Because, again, he knows where all the bodies are buried. It was his plan to begin with. And he saw the impetus of it. It's just that I don't think it's a good move for the one person in the house who actually came up with the plan, and that person is Kiefer. So there you go.
Yeah, Kiefer definitely was the one who got the ball rolling on this plan, but I feel like everyone at this point in the house has kind of taken a role in this responsibility and kind of given themselves a pat on the back for making this move. So while I think, yes, he's the one who came up with it, I think everyone's taking credit for it. You know, the show might show us one thing, but I'm with you too, Zach. When I try to watch feeds, it's basically out 90% of the time, but I still feel like they all want to accept the responsibility in the role.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other tricky thing is when I do see clips of feeds, they're literally all talking to the camera, talking about how they get all the credit for this and how they're all the best ever. So it's very hard to differentiate exactly what I need to believe and exactly what's kind of being made up. You know, I agree. I don't think this is the best move for Kiefer, but I do want to give him a lot of credit. You know, I think I've been saying the last couple of weeks for Kiefer to have a chance, he needs to take out one of the big three. He needs to be willing to cut them. And we are so worried that he's going to be this lapdog again, even after everything that they've put him through. But he's not. He is playing a strong floater game. He's floated over to Tara in power now, and he's throwing them under the bus pretty solidly. I've been impressed at least with that.
Yeah, like, so setting aside the fact that I think this is a terrible move for Kiefer, I'll give him credit for the fact that he does not fall back into their lap. He's not going to be number four on the totem pole. He realizes he was expendable to some people over there. He realizes that they came this close to getting rid of him until he put on some waterworks and said a few things to Jed and told him he was his boy and I'm not going to betray you and blah, blah, blah. And obviously Tina and Tara, he did some fast talking to get himself on that. And as the Sunsetters do, which is what I call the trio, the former Sunsetters, they dither and they weigh their options, and he got them to second guess themselves because that's what they do. They've never ever stick with their decision. He was the one who did that. Fast forward to this week, and he is the one who is the impetus of the plan. He's the one who envisioned it. It's just that it's a terrible move for him. But as far as like actually accomplishing something that is going to be remembered as an absolutely insane week in Big Brother, I mean, I don't know that many things can top this. If you actually got, I mean, you listen, you heard Jed in this episode in the diary room saying to the cameras, like, I know that it's Tara's mission to get me out of the house this week. I absolutely have to win veto. And then when he won the veto, he was like, look, Tara, this was the biggest mistake. First of all, I have issues with Jed because he's like, you know, Tara, I told you not to put me on the block. I told you not to put me on the block and piss me off. I'm like, dude, you were putting her up no matter what if you won HOH anyway. So who the fuck cares if she... I hate it when house guests do this. You have your enemy. They take a shot at you. They put you on the block and you're like, you never should have done this and pissed me off because now I'm coming for you. And I'm like, you were coming for her since day one. What are you talking about? You would have put her on the block if you won HOH and wouldn't have even thought anything of it. So anyway, I'm done bitching about him. But yes, you saw him in the diary room like saying, I know that I have to use the... I won the veto now. That means I'm going to be here next week. Like it was a fait accompli for him. Like he had already done it in his head. He won the veto and he's going to use it on himself. And then he starts talking to people, which is never a good idea. Because here's the thing. Oh, sorry. I thought I was done and I'm not going to be done because I have one more thing to say. This is what Jed is not realizing. This is the crazy thing. If Jed thinks that this is a legit plan, then he should be willing to use the veto on himself. Because if he uses the veto on himself, Brayden can still go up. Like the things that Tara was saying about like worrying about some people voting out Beth instead of Brayden, like those things like are still like things that can be massaged. If he thinks this plan is legit and his people are behind him, he can still use the veto on himself. Brayden can still go up on the block. But I know Tara, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's so many moving parts to this. Tara was threatening that Ty was going to go on the block if he used the veto on himself. And I know that it all comes back to greed, Zach. That's what this whole thing's about. It's about greed. It's about the fact that he wanted to save everybody. He thought that's the thing with winning a veto. With the veto, you get to save one, maybe two people if you're using the veto for somebody else on the block. But Jed wanted to save all three people. He wanted to save himself and Ty and Beth. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to save all three people, and that's where they got him because he's being greedy.
Yeah, and it's okay. I agree with you, though, in the fact that Jed, going back to what you said about his problems with Tara putting him on the block and how now he's going after her, it's the dumbest thing. You literally just put her on the block last week, and had she not won the veto, she would have been going home. So you can't use that argument saying, well, now this is why. So I completely agree with you there. But as far as Jed, he's got it in this mindset that this is a goat move for him, that this is a play that maybe hasn't been done before, and that he's looking at it as to solidify himself as one of the best to ever play. Like, oh my gosh, they'll never see that coming. That'd be so good. He's not looking at the big picture. He's not realizing where the bodies are and how he's one of them. How the person he was just aiming for all week last week to get out has the ability to get him out. And if he leaves himself there, will probably definitely take the shot, and he can do something about it. It's just asinine. And this is where I get frustrated when we have recruits on the show, because they don't understand the game. And this is one of those aspects. As great as a player he is, and as he's been all season, and as well as he could be, they just don't ever fully get it. They think that loyalty is how you win this game. They think that people won't lie, won't backstep, that they'll swear on their mother, they'll swear on their grandfather's grave. They think those are actual true values in this game. And as fans, we know that's definitely not true. People will swear on anything to get what they want and get further in this game and make themselves look better as players. And that's where I have an issue in this move, is because he just thinks that loyalty and promises are what helps him win this game, and then he can rely on those things.
Yeah, that's very fair. I could not remember what show. I knew he auditioned for something else, but I knew it wasn't Survivor, and Heather helped me in the chat. It was Love Island. He auditioned for Love Island, and that's how he ended up on Big Brother Canada. So that is the kind of person. That's why, again, I don't know if you noticed, but he never wears a shirt in the house. Like, he really loves walking around with those abs.
As if you're complaining about that, Brent.
I know. I'm not complaining about it. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, like, you know, he still thinks he's on Love Island. I swear to God, that's it. That's what it is.
Hey, I once auditioned for Love Island. Look where it got me. So,
yeah, right?
No, I mean, it is incredible how much stock he puts in Kiefer and Ty when they come and reassure him later on in the episode. Like, he just takes them at straight at face value. Like, there's no question there in the back of his mind that, oh, they're also playing the game, which is a little frustrating. But I mean, I guess to push back against the this is a recruit issue, Bobby, is that Kiefer is just as myopic as Jed is here. Like, Kiefer is like, he is in one direction and one direction only, and he will not deviate, and he cannot see it from any other angle. Frustrating all around, but the stage is set for this crazy move. And let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk about how this all comes to shape up, the live feeds, and potential implications with this twist.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus, and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years to help with my workouts, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after my workouts. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has some amazing flavors you'll love. I know I do, but without all that bad stuff.
Hey, we're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got some exciting news. Magic Spoon will be releasing 2 amazing new flavors this month for a limited time only. We're talking about cookies and cream and maple waffle. Do I now have 2 favorite flavors of Magic Spoon that I haven't even tried yet? Because I'm looking at my dream board right in front of me, and what's there? Cookies and cream and maple waffle. This is a dream come true. And if that isn't the most comforting, indulgent combination, then I don't know what is. This is the ultimate treat yourself combo. So make sure you get some while you can for a limited time, or build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, one of my faves, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon, my absolute fave. Now, if you're listening in Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well.
That sounds about perfect for the maple waffle. If you want to get in on this, go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition cookies and cream, maple waffle, or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the US or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And we are back. All right. So
yes.
Ty is putting in some work to save himself here, and he's got an acting performance going on. How do we rate Ty's acting performance while they're all sitting around outside? Because this was the most demonstrative I've ever seen him. It's like hilarious to juxtapose Ty in the diary room talking about his acting performance, which is the most dispassionate display ever, with Ty actually outside doing this acting performance where he's falling off his chair and over the top of what's wrong with Tara? That's wild. How do we think Ty played this, and where do we see him standing at the end of this week?
Okay, so Bobby, take it away, because this is where my feed went out. So go ahead and take it.
Yeah, honestly, I think that, like I said earlier in the podcast, I really think that Ty is thinking about this big picture wise in his head. He thinks he can't beat Beth or Jed. And I think he's looking at this move as the way to get himself solidified as the sole survivor of the three. I do believe in my head, I believe he's third out of those three to possibly win. So he knows he can't sit next to him. So even if maybe in his heart, he doesn't want to go against Jed, and I know he has and wants to take a shot at Beth, he's been wanting to for a while, I think he's just looking at this as the move that needs to be made now, because he doesn't know if he's going to be able to get this shot later. And he's got people to back him up right here and has a number. So that's why I think he's a part of it. I still think that it's maybe not the best move for him right now, but hey, it's the move he's trying to make.
I don't think it's the right move for him, but even if you consider that, okay, he feels like he can't beat Jed at the end, he doesn't know if he's going to have another opportunity to get him out. He needs to make this move now. Even if you consider that for a moment, I don't think he's even doing this in the manner that he needs to be doing this, because he's acting to Jed like he's his boy. He's acting to him like, I'm never going to betray you, I'm with you till the end, when there's no reason for you to behave this way. You just need to tell him the truth of the matter, which I know he couldn't tell him the truth of the matter up until the point in time where he used the veto on Beth. But even after that, spoiler alert, he's still pretending like he's his boy, like he's going to vote with him, that they accomplished this big plan, when at the end of the day, Jed's going to feel really, really stupid when he's eventually blindsided or told ahead of time. They haven't told him yet, but told ahead of time, hey, we're going to vote you out. He's going to feel really stupid. And I feel like the person who he's going to hold most accountable is Ty, because that was the person who he would not have betrayed. Even though Jed was probably closer to Beth, if Beth goes home this week, like, Ty is his boy. He's not going to put him up on the block. He's not going to betray him. He's going to take him to the end of the game. I think that there's an argument to be made here that everybody has played this badly.
No, I think that's fair. I, from my point of view, I think Ty is going to come out the worst at the end of this. I see this like, I don't see any path forward for him once this move is done. I think he's kind of the last on everyone's list after this move. He's certainly burning Beth, who's going to stay there. I don't think that any of these other folks really want to integrate him into their alliance. It's convenient this week and this week only.
Yes.
And I think we could very well see a Jed versus Ty to battle back into the house.
I think that that's certainly a possibility based on what's happening insofar as, like, if Jed comes back into the house. I don't think that Ty is a likely person to go out in the double eviction, so I don't think he'll be battling against Jed in whatever competition that they have. But assuming that Jed comes back in, again, big assumption, he may not even come back in after all. But even if he does come back into the house, I do think that there is a possibility at that point that he could be at odds with Ty based on the fact that Ty is totally lying to him right now, mm-hmm. and not giving him the real tea on what's happening.
Yeah, Ty's really putting all his faith in these three other people. He's really just taking a risk here, thinking that he won't have to deal with Jed again. And man, this is going to backfire if Jed comes back into the house. Like, this is literally an all-in move for Ty, and possibly even like a friendship ruiner, because he's straight up telling him, hey, no, I'm with you. I think they're idiots. What are they thinking? And when he finds out he gets backstabbed by his best friend in the house, who he's with since day one, it's going to be ugly if he comes right back in the house.
Yeah, yeah, if you play such a strong team game and for 8 weeks are preaching the team, the loyalty, and then you do make this move this early, you know, we're not talking about Final Four. We're not talking about Final Three. He's making this move pretty preemptively. I just don't see anyone working with him in a serious way going forward. And I think he already went all in on the trio, and I think that this is not the right time to cut bait. I think he should wait a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We'll see. You know, any prediction I make will inevitably be wrong, because that's how the season's going, but I don't like it for Ty the most of anyone. Speaking of things that are going to piss Jed off and potentially be really bad, whether he's on the jury or comes back in, is Tara swearing on her kids. So Tara,
she's done before. I just want to make sure people know this. She's done this before. She swore on her kids before, and then she's immediately flip-flopped on whatever she said she was swearing on. So, like, this is not a big thing. I'm tired of people talking about it. We can talk about it because the show talked about it, but it's just, it's not worth the paper that it's printed on. There's nothing to see here. Like, whatever. Moving on. I'm just sorry.
No, not moving on, because regardless, when they get to the end, this will be a talking point. If Tara is there at the end, and when this move gets brought up, if Jed is there on the jury talking about this, or if Jed is there in the house fighting about this, he will say, and even if this is not the only time Tara's done this, maybe they'll throw this against her, kind of like Twyla on Survivor Vanuatu, of, you got here, yes, good job, but look at what you sacrificed along the way. You swore on everything you loved, on your children. And I think this will be a big talking point, especially as was mentioned, a lot of these folks are recruits. Jed's from Love Island. So swearing on kids is a big deal if you've never seen a social strategy game before.
Yeah, and see, the thing that sucks, and this might ruin my chances of when I play, or if I play, like, I would do this with ease, with no problem, because in my mind, there's a difference from swearing on your kids or your mom or whatever. In real life, when you're playing a game where you have to backstab people and you have to do things to further your own game, I see no problem in it. I think that it's ridiculous that people get as upset as you do when everyone's competing for a cash prize to really help your family and help people you love. Obviously, you're going to say what you have to say to win that money to help the people you love. It doesn't change how you feel about your family. For me, it's all just a wash. And so if I were ever in the house, I would do it with ease and say it, no problem. I get it. There's people in this house that have, you know, never watched an episode and will take this at face value and think, this is not how you talk in real life. This is horrible. How could you do this? I just don't give a shit, because guess what? I'm going to do what I have to do to win. So maybe this isn't helping me if I ever play, which I probably won't. But if I ever did, people could see this and know, okay, well, we can't trust Bobby. But I'm just saying, I don't have a problem with it. And the fact that people do, I think it's bullshit. And I think that these people are so close-minded to the fact that you got to do what you have to do to win.
Yeah, no, completely. And, you know, I know I see people in the chat saying she swore on her kids that she would put Bray up. Yeah, Jed's not going to see it like that. I don't think you get the chance to debate semantics when you're calling someone immoral. That's a very different conversation.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's all about how you feel at that point. And the other thing too about her doing this is it would help if she owns it, but I don't think she's the kind of person who would own it at the end. She wouldn't say, yeah, I knew that I was saying I would swear on my kids as a strategy tactic because I knew that you guys would buy it. And it, like, coming from a mother like me, you would totally, you know, buy it hook, line, and sinker. She will never own it like that. If she could own it like that, it would be fantastic, but she ain't gonna do it.
No. And the last thing I want to talk about from the episode before we get into live feed and fake double eviction discussion is Brayden. Oh my goodness.
Okay, so let me go ahead. What the hell? Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I mean, we're all angry. We all want to yell about this. I feel, you know, he's not only going along with this and not making a scene and, like, invisible in the episode, like, he's given zero agency in the show. He is completely uninvolved in this. And then we see him in the DR at the very end feeling totally comfortable with this. Why would you not fight against this? The people voting are Kiefer, our Ty, our Beth. Like, what? I can't make any sense of this. These are people who change their mind on a week-to-week basis. You've seen this. And these are people who are so tight with the guy that you're sitting next to on the block, have been all season. What on earth?
Okay, so I wanted to say, because I saw this in the chat earlier, people were asking about, you know, so did Kirsten McInnes, who is friends with Braden, did she give him some of this advice? I saw Kirsten on Twitter when Braden was going up on the block, and she was like, I don't want anybody to ask me about Big Brother Canada tonight, because obviously she feels as we do that Braden is misplaying. I personally saw this conversation with Tara, with Braden, when she was like, look, if you don't want me, but I'm going to put you up on the block, but if you don't feel comfortable with it, it's okay. You know, and he's like, no, he didn't offer any pushback whatsoever. Braden is, in my opinion, miscast. I think they wanted another Gary. They wanted another fun, flamboyant character on the show, but I'm sorry. He is not assertive enough to play this game. He doesn't know how to articulate strategy. He doesn't know how to get in somebody's face and shake them. All he had to do at that point was tell Tara, no, don't put me up on the block. I don't think I should go up on the block. Look at who the voters are. They've already betrayed people before. They betrayed Kiefer. It was like John Kerry in 2004. Like, they were for it before they were against it. Seriously, they can't decide what to do. And we're trusting these people. We're giving the power of the trio, two of whom are the voters. There's only three voters this week, and two of the people are in the trio. And you think they're not going to vote to save their third person, their third trio member, who's also on the block with them? Like, all he had to do was say something, and he would have been safe, in my opinion. All he had to do was say something to Tara, and he would have been safe. But he couldn't, because he doesn't have it in him. He might love Big Brother as, like, watching on the couch and saying fun, snappy things and being funny with what was that girl who got evicted right before the jury? I forget her name. Austin?
What?
Yeah, whatever. I forgot her already. Anyway, moving on. Like, they weren't here to play Big Brother. They were here to find Queen V said, it was here to find Big Brother Bestie. Like, that. This is not Big Brother Bestie. This is Big Brother Canada. And he just doesn't have it in him to articulate and be assertive enough about the strategy that he needs to let people know what he's thinking. He just, it is beyond what he is capable of, Bobby. Did I read him enough?
Yes. You gave exactly the correct answer in that situation, not to, you know, toot your horn, but that's exactly it. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, this guy, all he had to do was tell them this is not a good move. For all we know, Ty could be bullshitting us and be really going behind our backs, telling them everything, like, oh my God, I can't believe we got him to put up Braden. That's all it would take. It would take one person to deceive them for this whole plan to go awry. And the fact that he doesn't do anything, he just sits there. You see it in the episode. They're like, hey, so you're going to go up though, just so you know. He's like, oh, they're falling for it. What idiots. Dude, this could totally backfire in your face, and you're not even looking at that.
It really should. Like, it really should backfire. It should. Like, I mean, Tara's an idiot, obviously, too. I haven't really gone after her, but she's an idiot for falling through. The only reason she put Braden on the block in the first place was because she didn't want Jed to blow up at her, in her words. Okay? Which was odd. Like, it was shades of Christmas and Big Brother 22 to me. Like, oh, I'm so scared that I don't want Jed to blow up at me. Like, I mean, you know, she didn't say anything like that was too terrible, but just like the fact that she was worried about that was odd to me. And then, of course, the minute that she puts him up on the block and Jed and Ty and Beth are all schmoozing again, because again, they're playing him, or at least Ty is playing him. She's like, oh my God, did I make a mistake? Well, yes, you crazy bitch, you made a mistake. Like, you should never have put Braden on the block. The one person you said can never touch the block this week is Braden. And yeah, you put him on the block. And then Braden agreed to it again. This is why, like, I mean, I heard RHAP, and they're like, in the history of Big Brother, I don't think this was the worst week in strategy ever. And I don't parrot what they say, but I'm inclined to agree with them. Like, I cannot find good moves from anybody here. I'm inclined to look at something from a different point of view, because I understand where people are coming from, and they don't have all the information that we have. But even with the information that they have in front of them, for any one of these people to think that they're making a good move at this point is beyond me. And Kiefer is the worst of it to me because he's the person who's the fan. He understands the way Big Brother works. He's not a fucking recruit. He's one of us. So he knows that the way the numbers work at the end of Big Brother. And by that, I mean the numbers get wonky. And Big Brother, in a game where you have to nominate two people and somebody's always safe because they're the HOH, the numbers get weird at the final six, the final five, the final four. And if Jed wins HOH at final five, if he had stayed in the game like he was going to do after he won the veto, then that means that Kiefer would never touch the block, which means he's going to be in the pool of eligible house guests to touch the block at the final four, meaning he's either going to be evicted or he's going to take you with you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor that point, but that is the thing that makes me the most frustrated. It's because Kiefer understands the way these numbers work and how big in Big Brother small numbers get wonky, and he cannot appreciate it because all he sees in front of him is, you know, mastermind, big move, greatest of all time, which is ironically something that's going around in the house because other people have been saying that about themselves as well. So everybody. I guess he's not alone.
And they all think that this has been a great strategic week for everyone. And in reality, we're all looking at it being like, how are you not logical in this situation? However, I will disagree. I don't think it's the worst strategic week in history of the show. I will go back to BB19 being that whole season was just a strategic nightmare since day one. So I don't think anything will ever top BB19, but I do agree with you. It was a mess. And as far as Braden goes, how did he not look at the big picture? They already had the numbers. Say you don't have to put your trust in Ty. You don't have to put your trust there. Just put him on the block and you still have the numbers to get the job done that you want to do. You still can vote out the person you want to get up there. This whole week just is very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are going to see what happens tomorrow night on the show, but before we get there, let's talk about what's been going on the feeds for anyone who wants to dip out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. But time for some feed spoilers. We actually got a lot tonight of what I'd seen on the feeds. I wasn't sure how this was going to come down. Things haven't changed a whole lot from this, have they?
Not really. I mean, Jed is aware of the fact that there is a possibility he's being had here. Beth got wise to it when she started talking to Ty, who let on the fact that Tara was in on the plan, and then Beth got mad about it because Beth was mad that Tara was going to get credit for this move when she wanted to be the one to take out Jed, meaning Beth. Beth went, if somebody's going to take out Jed, Beth wanted to be the person that it was going to be. So she started not panicking a little bit, but just being annoyed. And then she talked to Jed and said, I think you need to talk to Ty because I think he's snaking you, which really got Jed thinking. And then all of that was on the feeds. Actually, he was in his room for a while and then was really put out about it. The fact that he might be looking like there's nothing. People don't understand this about Big Brother. People can take losing the game. People do not want to be made to look a fool. And I think that Jed is contemplating the fact that he may very well look like the biggest fool of all at the end of this, when his friends literally stab him in the back after he had the veto and could have used it on himself, and they tricked him and made him feel like a complete doofus. I think that's where he's at right now. Now, he's gone to Ty. Ty has reassured him. This is why I was kind of getting on Ty, because at this point, Ty has nothing to lose. He might as well just tell him the truth and let him down slowly and say, I'm going to vote you out here, but because there's no reason to lie. I mean, it's his vote or nothing at this point. And he's playing along. He's still telling Jed that, I'm going to keep you and don't worry about anything. And I don't know if Beth's doing something, or I don't know if Kiefer's doing something, but I got your back, boy. But even though Jed knows that's not true, he can't let on to Ty, because then that would give Ty the opening to say, well, you doubted me. But even the fact that he's not letting in on the fact that he knows, Jed, I'm talking about, I feel like Ty at the end of this might even use that as a potential excuse anyway, Bobby, to say, oh, you doubted me and that's why I evicted you, when in reality it was in the sauce to begin with, no pun intended.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where he should honestly just say something, because at this point you're losing the vote from Jed in the end, which this is the whole reason you're wanting to put him there, is so that not only you get the glory, but you can also get the vote from one of the votes that you can get would be Jed. And yeah, you're backstabbing him, but explain why you're doing this and how you have to do this for your game. Maybe there'll be some ounce of him being like, okay, I get it. He's doing this for his family. He's got to make this move. I respect that. But when you just do it and he's your best friend in the house and you've been doing this whole week, aiming at him, ready to take him out, and you can't even have the decency to let him know when it's already said and done. Like, there's nothing he can do at this point. Now it's all just strictly, hey, this is what's going on, and you can't even do that. If I were Jed, I'd be hurt too, because this is the person you put all your trust in, and I think that's a real big misstep by Ty, because he's gonna lose his vote, and this is a vote he desperately needs if he gets to the end.
Yeah, and people, I see people in the chat that are like, you know, is Jed going to be a bitter juror? You guys, I gave up years ago on trying to predict these fucking jurors. Seriously, you were never right. You never know who's going to be a bitter juror. Honestly, sometimes the biggest fans and the biggest recruits both become bitter jurors. It's absolutely impossible to predict with these people. It's all about like what they, how much they personally feel hurt and how they personally feel about the game. And some people are able to set their feelings aside and other people are not. And I can't tell if he would be a bitter juror or not. If you're asking me today, I think he'd be pretty bitter. But, you know, 2 weeks from now, how's he going to feel? Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what percent chance do we give Braden to go home? Is it a 5% chance? I'm trending towards zero.
I actually think this is one of the most set in stone votes that I've been a part of as far as Big Brother Canada goes. And I think that nobody's coming after Braden. I mean, he might hit the block as a pawn, but I don't think anybody's going to touch Braden, because he's so terrible at the game and has no agency whatsoever. And he's the, like, I've said this about a few different people, but he's the worst of it, because he's not even voting Jed out here. He volunteered to be the pawn to sit on the block while other people do the hard work and vote Jed out. So he's not even going to get credit for it in the end, even though he's been a part of it since the beginning, Bobby.
I will give this a 10% chance because of the fact that we cannot predict anything these people do anymore, that they are so unpredictable that they change their opinions on a whim, that Ty could get this feeling, Beth could get this feeling, oh, wait, we gotta change this up, we can do something about it, and then boom, the week's completely different. So I still give it a 10% chance, but that's literally just because of the uncanniness of how unpredictable these people are.
Yeah, and then we're, of course, going to have this fake double eviction situation, which I actually think, you know what, Brent, you got me thinking about how much you don't hate this. I actually think maybe the best case scenario for the show is that Ty does this ultimate betrayal. Jed comes back from this fake double eviction, and all of a sudden we have Jed versus Ty for the home stretch. I think that would be a very interesting dynamic to see, kind of an angry Jed risen from the grave to try to get vengeance on his friends who turned on him. That could save this, maybe, since none of the twists have gone the way we expected. We thought the invisible HOH would be awesome. It was the opposite. I think maybe we think this is going to suck and it'll give us something good, because they're playing like crap anyways. So it might be awesome to see.
I will say that Heather in the chat said, so when a fake double eviction, do they still do goodbye messages? Well, they don't want to let the house guests in on the fact of what's happening. So I'm sure they're going to tape goodbye messages, you know, like today and tomorrow, if they haven't already, like they normally do. But they're not going to show them to them. I'm not sure. Like, assuming Jed's evicted on tomorrow night, Jed's going to be evicted. Arissa's going to say, you know, it's too bad you got evicted. How are you feeling right now? And he's going to be bummed. And then she's going to spring it on him. It's a fake double eviction. Wait right over here in sequester while somebody else evicted, and you're going to have the chance to battle against somebody. And he's going to be so pumped, and it's going to be amazing. No, it's not going to be amazing for us, but it's going to be amazing for him. They are still doing the goodbye messages, but they are not going to show them to Jed because they don't want that to influence the house guests. So
let's say Beth goes home right after him and he has to compete against Beth to get back in the house. Do we think he would throw it to his girl Beth? And how will his mom feel?
Mama T is not going to be feeling that if that happens. I'll tell you that. That would be the T.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So this guy uses the veto on her and then throws a comeback comp to her. Oh my gosh.
Here's the thing. Like, once Beth found out that this plan was already in the works, because Beth was already talking about the fact that maybe we should vote Jed out here. Like, she was already trying to be ruthless enough, because she knows she has to take out Jed in order to win the game. She's just like, I don't want to do it yet. So then she was talking about the possibility of doing it right now. But then when she found out it was already in the works, then she decided to become vehemently against it. I swear to God, it's only because other people thought of it is the reason that she doesn't want to hop on board with it right now. But the funny part is, she could actually get the narrative back if she wanted to, if she was the one who betrayed Jed and told him that, hey, I'm betraying you. Like, then Jed, if he loses the competition, will go to jury and say, look, Beth played me the entire time, and then her stock would rise. But she doesn't know what to do with her own narrative at this point. It's really weird. Like, I don't have anything good to say about most of these people in the house. And yet at the end of the day, somebody's still going to win and somebody's going to walk out of here feeling like, you know, Bobby, everything worked. Everything that I did worked. It doesn't mean, though, that the gameplay, though, is sound right now. It's really pretty shabby for most of them.
Yeah, it's most of these games have really crumbled all season long. I still think, for me, Keith is the front runner if he can survive, you know, doing this.
Oh, Keith is the front runner.
I agree. I just think, yeah. And I think that he's the most deserving. But what I'm saying is, like, if he's not the winner, these others just lucked into the win, because I honestly can't look at one thing as to why these others deserve.
Can you imagine, like, Brayden versus Tara?
I don't even know who they vote for. I don't know.
I think Tara wins. I think Tara wins.
Some people don't like her. So it's like, I don't know.
Have we had, I'm trying to think of the closest Big Brother winner that's just like an absolute, how the fuck?
The brothers.
Pax Bros.
But there's such good sports about it, though, because like they know, like how the fuck did we win? Like, that should not have, like, what the fuck? Like, how did that happen? Like, they're like, they know how to, they lean into the curve. Like, they're very good sports about it. Like, they've never once had anything negative to say about me, and I really lit into them when I was like podcasting over to RHAP. So like they're good. But if this, but I guarantee you, whoever walks out of this house isn't gonna be like that, Bobby.
Whoever walks out of this house
is gonna be feeling their oats. And they're going to be in for a rude awakening. And by the way, like, the fact that Tara, like, told Beth to her face, like, hey, you know, after Beth had the whole sob story and said, I'm going to put you up on the block. And, like, Beth, like, was shocked about it. Beth is not going to last 3 seconds on social media, because these people on social media are going to tear her to pieces.
Yeah.
They're literally, if Mama T doesn't, Twitter will. They will tear her. She will not be a part. But if she can survive social media, if she can survive Twitter and like doesn't deactivate her account, if she can tweet and laugh at herself and everything, I'll give her credit. Because I'd like to see her out on these BB streets.
And once we get to the end, if we get a Tara or a Brayden win, is that going to take away from this entire season? Are we all going to look back at this season and be like, oh, that was such a crappy season? I mean, all season we've enjoyed it. It's just the end wasn't the result.
Yeah, I feel like it has to stick the landing. I feel like if we get a Tara or Brayden win, that'll be pretty sad. But if we get anybody else, even Beth...
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like Kiefer, Beth, Jed, Ty.
Yes. One of them will win. Surely.
Yeah, surely. Yeah.
Yes. It's a messy ass season. Like, it's like, you know, I can only think in Survivor of like Guatemala or Gabon or like just one of these shit show seasons. But we end up with a winner who's, they embody that. I think Kiefer's perfect for that, because is he a legendary player? In his own mind. But does he represent this season? Absolutely.
Absolutely. 100%.
He's messy.
And I mean, we'll all be cheesed if anyone else wins. Seriously, what is that? I still don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And second off, if it's a bad thing, I love cheese. So I'm offended, because that should not be a bad thing.
I thought cheese was like grinning. Like,
I have no idea.
Maybe they're like cheese, like, like, I don't know.
They're saying, like, oh man, was he cheesed? Like, I'm like, is that good? Is that bad? Like, I don't understand it. Someone tell me in the comments, because I don't get it.
Yeah, well, Brent, you brought up they're not good at controlling their own narratives, a number of these people, which is so unusual, because Beth does need to like take the reins on some of these things and control her narrative a little bit. But all of them are just focused on the narrative of like, I'm a legend, I make the biggest moves ever. Like that is the narrative. It's funny to me how some of these things just infiltrate the house, whether it's them all saying they're cheesed at people or them all talking about like legendary moves. I haven't seen this happen as much before with a group of Big Brother contestants. But do we blame COVID? Is it because they've talked to like no other humans, so they're just mimicking each other now because they forget how to socially interact?
I think they're just idiots. I really do. Yeah,
okay. Well, there we go. I'm trying to let him off the hook here, but we can't do it. Awesome. Well, do you guys have anything else to cover before we let it go and see what happens tomorrow night?
I'll just say this. It's been, you know, such a wild ride this season. I'm just happy that I've been able to talk about it with you guys, because this has honestly been a lot of fun. At least we've got in the season where it's a lot of back and forth and drama and suspense, not knowing what's happening. So as much as we are angry with how this week has gone by, we have to be happy with the product we've gotten. Also, You can find me on Twitter at Goodspeed Bobby. And then also, I wanted to say I'm going to be doing I'm going to be on a website called I'm totally blanking on the name.
Doug. Oh my god!
You know I'm bad at this. When it has to be on the spot, I am so bad.
Well, do you want me to give my? I can give my.
You go ahead because I'm going to look it up. It's going to piss me off.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, obviously, you guys know you can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E, across all platforms. That's Instagram and Twitter. And Bobby, you finally found it.
Yes, a programming insider. I'm going to be helping Doug with an article that he's writing. Doug is in the comments. He's a huge fan. I'm going to be helping him write an article on the NFL draft. I am so fabulous. Embarrassed because I swear to God, when I'm on the spot like that, I just blank. So thank you. Check out the article on Programming Insider. It'll be up Monday.
Nice. Awesome. And I'm on Instagram at Zach Hacker Writes. I know a number of people brought up, they checked out my book and congratulate me on that. Thank you very much. You can find that. Just search Zach Hacker wherever books are sold and you'll be able to get a copy of that. But thank you, everybody. Cheers and good night.
When it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest. Most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar.
Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle and the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm personally not a keto eater, but I love these nut and seed bars. I try to have one of these always on me for a snack because I'm usually trying to train for a new running distance I'm trying to hit. I think 2021 is going to be the year for my first full marathon, and I think Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars are going to help me get there because they're giving me the energy I need and the nutrition I need to make those health goals possible.
Wow. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars have the perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, but still manage to be soft and chewy. How do they do it? They come in delicious flavors like sea salt, dark chocolate, pecan almond, and my favorite, no contest, love these so much, game changers, if you will, the peanut butter dark chocolate.
So good. They're perfect for a quick snack to satisfy your sweet tooth without any guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars as a quick breakfast, while running errands, or after a workout.
In addition to being keto-friendly, these bars are gluten-free, plant-based, and non-GMO. So with no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or artificial flavors.
They really taste incredible, and you can't beat the low-sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering promo code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK.com and select any product and then use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at checkout to save 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on. And we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast.
Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your balls in a few months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with a ball fro. Would you show up to your first day of school without a haircut?
Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Johnny, how's your grooming been lately?
Oh, man, I am sleek, aerodynamic. I'm like that new Tesla. I mean, I got a bunch of 5Ks coming up. I got a bunch of half marathons coming up. Oh, man, I'm going to run so fast. There's no friction between Johnny Fairplay, little Johnny Fairplay, and home sweet home.
Oh, that's good news because Manscaped is here to help everyone else get on that level with their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It's the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of their ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining.
The perfect Package 3.0 also comes with the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Now, the Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, which ensures that your afternoon stroll doesn't end with your balls sticking to your leg. They call that bat winging. You can eliminate that with a little manscaping, courtesy of the Crop Preserver. But the Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with the soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that give your balls a boost. Now, subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower 3.0 trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Don't be using no old razor. Come on. And making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean.
The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through quarantine with the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that. And your first date will thank you. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here.
Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.